We're reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to the end. And once again, if you're looking on your phone, you might like to start at chapter 7 and go backwards. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great.
Well, it'd be worth keeping your Bibles open to Luke 6, familiar passage. I'm not sure if you've watched much of the TV show called Lego Masters. It's a pretty fun show. There's a bunch of teams that work really hard to build amazing Lego creations. It's pretty spectacular what they come up with. And they also face a whole bunch of crazy challenges. One of the challenges that they face is to build a Lego tower of a certain height, over 2 meters or 3 meters or whatever it is. It's huge, quite tall. But then that tower gets placed on this device that shakes it aggressively at three different settings. And the challenge is to build a Lego tower that can last the longest as it's shaken a little, then quite a bit, and then pretty aggressively at the end. Actually, I noticed that there's another show on Netflix called Baking Impossible or something like that, where they had the same challenge, but they had to make a tower out of cake. They had to engineer a cake to survive three different levels of shaking on the same machine. So making a Lego tower or making a huge cake, but here's the thing, how do you make a life that can stand no matter how hard it's shaken? How do you build a life that will last, that will be safe and secure no matter what happens, even when the worst happens? And we think about it for ourselves, don't we, as we make decisions in life, but we also think about it for our children. How can we grow them and care for them and help them to be strong in a world where lots of things are going to shake them? And that's our experience, isn't it? That there are moments in life when we are shaken, when everything is unsettled. We feel thrown around by circumstances out of our control. We lose our equilibrium. We don't know what we can hold on to. And maybe level one is being swamped by a project at work, or the kids just haven't slept through the night for months, or friends are going through a really hard time, or there's difficult decisions to be made, but then it ratchets up to level two and you lose your job. Or you get really sick, or your friends just abandon you, and then level three, you or a loved one is facing serious long-term illness, a relationship completely breaks down, or you grieve the loss of a loved one. How can we stand firm? How do you survive? How do you keep going? What do you hold on to? What holds on to us? You know, for many people, 2 years of COVID, lockdowns and restrictions and rules are definitely in there somewhere in terms of being shaken. It felt like COVID version one last year shook us pretty hard. But this year, it's almost been worse, hasn't it? Shaken us more. And I pray that it doesn't get turned up to level three next year. But if it does, how will we cope? What will you hang on to? Our passage today gives us real hope. Jesus Christ gives us certain hope. Because he knows there are times in life when the very things that we are relying on to keep us safe, when the things that we're holding on to for security and for hope and for a guaranteed future are shaken and collapse. But he tells us exactly what we can rely on and trust in no matter what happens. He tells us what will truly last. And if we build our life on it, it will see us through any circumstances that may come. Because it turns out that when it comes to building structures and towers, it's what's going on underneath that matters. The bit at the top that everyone sees from a distance may look great, but that isn't what makes it strong. That isn't what will make it stand and not fall over. In fact, one structure might look exactly the same as another structure. One house might look exactly the same as another house. But they're built on different foundations. It's the same thing with life. There are things in life that are like the icing on the cake, but it's what's going on underneath that matters. It's where our heart lies. What is going on in our spirit, in our soul, in our inner being? What are we basing our life on? It's the deep truths, the foundations, the things that we often can't immediately see that are in fact what matters most. So let me ask you, what is the foundation of your life? What is the bedrock truth, the reality, the defining reality that you stand on and rely on to keep you going through life? Is it the importance of health? Is it how much money you have? Is it your success and your achievements? Or is it your career? Is it your relationships? Is it your popularity? What is it? What is the thing? And what is the most important thing that you want to pass on to your children as you say, this is what life is about. This is what will keep you going. Because in the end, Jesus says in this passage, there are only two alternatives. There's really only two ways to live. Two sorts of life built on two foundations, and there's two end results. He uses the analogy of building a house to help us to understand. Verse 48, there's a man who builds a house. He takes the time to dig deep. He lays a deep foundation on rock, and he builds his house. So when the floods come and the river bursts against the house, it doesn't shake because it's been well built. It's been built on a strong foundation. In contrast, verse 49, there's another man who builds a house, but he takes some shortcuts. It's pretty quick and convenient and easy. The house goes up quickly. He'd get his house done way quicker than the other guy because there's no foundation. It's just there on the ground. Jesus says the storm comes, the flood rises, the river bursts, and the house collapses and is ruined. I tell you what, no matter how strong those walls are, no matter how impressive the roof is, no foundation means it will collapse. It's not connected to anything. It's not attached to any strong foundation. The destruction was great, says Jesus. Now, I'm no builder, but I've watched my fair share of Grand Designs, so that's close enough. I reckon I've learned three things from that show. One, insulting someone sounds a whole lot nicer when you have an English accent. Kevin MacLeod makes some pretty sharp and cutting comments, but it all sounds so proper in English because they're doing it over a cup of tea. Second thing I've learned is that everything takes longer and costs more than anyone ever plans. You can see that in Kevin's knowing smirk when he asks them, what's your budget? When do you expect to move in? And then he just nods in a way of, triple it, it's not going to work. Thirdly, I've learned that actually the most important work and almost, you know, the majority of the time goes in below the ground. And just getting the structure up to ground level, they spend ages digging, preparing, and laying foundations. So imagine if you didn't do that, how much money you'd save, how much time you'd save. But it's a short-term decision, isn't it? Again, this is the same with life. It's tempting just to get on with life. Do all the fun stuff. Get busy with living. Do things and try things and go places and follow others. Just build your life. Wherever, whatever, doesn't matter. Go do something. But if you don't stop and consider God, the one who created life, the one who made us, the one who rules the world, the one who speaks and gives us the Bible, the one who came into the world in Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and rose for us. If you don't do the hard work of laying deep foundations in the truth of God, then life might seem like fun. It might feel like it works in the short term. You might feel like you're getting ahead living without God. But it will not last. Because Jesus is saying it's the person who hears Jesus' words and listens to them and does them who is like the man who builds his life, builds his house, builds his future on the rock. No matter what life throws at him, He will stand. He will remain. He's safe. Now notice he doesn't say that that man will never face challenges. He doesn't say that man will never face suffering or hardship. No, he says there will be times of testing, but he will stand. The person who ignores Jesus, even politely ignores Jesus, I'm just trying to get on with my own life. Jesus, you're okay, but you're over there. Or the person who hears Jesus, yeah, I like listening about Jesus, but I don't do anything about it. Jesus says that's like the man who builds his house, builds his life, builds his future on nothing really. No everlasting foundation. That's the confronting reality of what Jesus is saying. And it might sound harsh, but it's a reasonable warning. He's saying there is a time of destruction coming. Will you be safe? There is a way to be safe. And when that time comes, when the storm, when the floods, when the crisis hits, whether it's the money running out or the friends disappearing or your body starts to fail, it all kind of starts to collapse. Did you see what Jesus says in verse 46? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He's challenging people who say, oh yeah, I believe in God. And they call him Lord. But they don't actually treat him as the foundation of their life. They don't trust him and live by his word. In fact, Jesus is pointing out here that everything you can find in the world, in creation, generously made for us by God, generously given to us by God, if you build your life on those things, it's like building on nothing, on sand. But relying on the Creator who made them is like building on rock. And Jesus isn't saying you shouldn't have the things that the world has in it. But no, those things aren't your foundation. They might be the house that you build on the foundation, but they can't hold it all up. Everything in creation, money and food and travel and success and all those things, like the world itself, those things end. They are unpredictable. And what are we going to trust in for the long-term future? Money, wealth, they come and go. Human reason and science, they are great. But how many times has human reason led us down terrible paths, or science just been plain wrong? Success and pleasure and travel and hobbies and friendships, all these things are great. They are not the foundation that will see you last. Jesus is the foundation we can rely on even through death. A big part of what has made the last 2 years so distressing and so challenging, what has shaken us, is the disruptions and the lockdowns and the confusing rules and who's really in charge and being separated. I mean, that's been bad. But deep down, we've been confronted by the fear and the power of death. We've been reminded that life is beautiful, life is precious, but life is fragile. This virus sweeps the world. In the face of death, what can you rely on? Rich people die as surely as poor, young and old, successful, failures, organized, messy, on-time people, late people. Death is the great equalizer. Smart, popular, beautiful, death comes to all of us. What hope do you have? What hope can you give your children? Well, our life might be fragile, but here is a foundation. Here is a rock you can build on that will stand even through death, even through God's judgment. Here is a truth you can build your life on that will see you stand unshaken, unmoved, even by death. You will actually come through to the other side whole and well and alive forever. Human reason can't promise you that. Money can't get you there. Career and friendship and pleasure and marriage and family, only Jesus can make that promise. In fact, just to kind of preview what happens in the very next chapter, a few verses later, not long after saying these things, Jesus approaches a city where a funeral is taking place. The funeral procession for a young man, the only son of a widow. And it says in chapter 7, verse 13, that when he saw her, he had compassion for her. And he said to her, "Do not cry." Now, those words are meant with kindness, aren't they? But if all they are is words, then they're actually kind of cruel. Have you ever had someone say to you, when you were facing something terrible, "Oh, don't worry. Don't be sad. Don't be stressed. Actually, those are hurtful, thoughtless words, aren't they? Because they're actually an attempt to flick your pain away as if it's annoying. Because what does Jesus mean, don't weep? How can she not? When her only son has died and she's a widow, she's lost her husband already, she's now lost her son, this is her everything. But you see, Jesus' words aren't thoughtless or heartless because they are accompanied by power. When he says, do not cry, he means, I know your pain and I have love and compassion for you. I have the desire, but I also have the power to do something about it. Because the next verse, he goes up and touches the coffin, stops the whole procession. He says to the young man, the dead man, I say to you, arise, get up. But the dead man sat up and began to speak. And I really love the line in chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus gave him back to his mother. That's beautiful. But that's the power of Jesus' words. That's the power of Jesus' declaration. Jesus' words have the power to save, to heal, to forgive, to restore, to bring life to the dead. That is a strong foundation. That's a mighty rock. That's more than a foundation. The Bible calls it a fortress and a stronghold. Nothing's going to get in the way of God's love for us. Jesus promises to keep us safe if we would put our trust in him. Because Jesus gives power to the powerless. I mean, just before raising this dead man, he'd actually healed a slave that was sick and about to die. Here he has mercy and compassion on a widow. Jesus is there for the ones who realize they can't do it on their own. This is what he means by receiving the kingdom like a little child. And that's really the difference between these two foundations that Jesus is talking about. These two ways to live. In one, people think they can rely on themselves. I'll be fine. I can do it. I'll sort it out. They can stand on their own strength. They don't really need to listen to Jesus. They don't really need to do what Jesus says. They'll be okay. They trust themselves. In the other, we admit we can't do it. We surrender our lives. We rely on Jesus and rest on him as our foundation, as our rock and our Lord. We listen to his word and live by it. But even thinking about these things the way Jesus puts it, there's really only two ways to live: in relationship with God by trusting Jesus, or living independent of God and rejecting him. People can't help thinking, well, that life with Jesus as Lord, listening to his word, built on his foundation, that's restrictive, isn't it? Christian life, that's all the rules. You can't do anything. Sometimes people think Christianity is like those people who squeeze themselves into a barrel and then go over the Niagara Falls in a barrel. Have you heard of those kind of crazy people who've just kind of squeezed themselves into this tight barrel, get it sealed up, gets tossed in the river, goes over the Niagara Falls, comes out the other end and they smile and wave and you think, what on earth did you do that for? But a lot of people think that's Christianity. Yeah, you might be safe. Yeah, you might survive going over the falls, going through the hard time, but you had to do it, constricted into a barrel. And sometimes people think Christianity is like that. Sure, you might be safe on Judgment Day. Yeah, you might escape the dangerous times, but you did it in the cramped confines of Jesus' teaching. But I want to say that is just not true. In fact, it's the opposite. Being a Christian, standing and living on the rock, means experiencing real forgiveness and love that lasts. The love of God that never runs out. It doesn't get old. It doesn't wear out. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Life to the full, he says. Jesus also says that I am the one who's come to bring the truth and the truth will set you free. When you build your life on Jesus, you have the comfort. You have the joy. You have the peace of knowing everything's going to be okay. No matter what happens, you will not stumble. You will not fall. With Jesus, you have what life is actually all about. You have his words guiding you, guarding you, leading you deep in your heart. That is what today is about. Nicola and Dan are going to build Heidi's life and their family's life on the strong foundation of Christ. But it's what every week at church is about. It's why we want to keep reminding ourselves of this amazing truth. The foundation that every person needs is relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have spoken to us in your word, the Bible, that we can know you. Thank you that you desire relationship with us, that we can call you Father, that we know your love, we experience your forgiveness, your acceptance, your welcome. Thank you for Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Savior, and that he is our mighty rock, our fortress, our foundation. Please help us in life. You know those moments when we are shaken and when the storms come. Help us to trust in Jesus and that we might live with you forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.